Today we'll be speaking with Anne Kefeber, recently retired as a managing director at Accenture, where she served as the lead for the health analytics practice in North America. She's also worked for IMS Health, IBM for a number of years, the Rome Corporation, which is part of IBM, and the Honeywell Corporation.
So, Anne, you have worked at a number of large professional service consulting firms over the years, and I'm curious, what are the three things that you have seen in your years as a consultant that work to drive business development?
It's an interesting question, and I've thought a lot about, you know, the players that I've worked with and what really distinguishes those that are super successful. And I think there are a couple of things that really distinguish excellent business development professionals. One is a really clear two-way communication strategy. They articulate a point of view very clearly, express the differentiated capabilities. They work to use a common language with the client, and then they validate. They really ensure that it's a two-way dialogue around an understanding of those points of view. So that's number one, a two-way communication strategy. And then the second one is to have a really well thought out plan that is a persistent plan to develop a relationship, you know, with an account, with a buyer of a particular opportunity. But it's doing the research to know a lot about the account, know who the players are within that, establishing depth and breadth, and understanding the competition. So those are sort of the elements of a really in-depth plan. And then relationships. And you can't say too much about establishing multi-dimensional relationships with those players that are involved in the account or involved in a particular opportunity pursuit.
So let me ask you about each of those. We'll start with the last. You say it's important to develop multi-dimensional relationships with the stakeholders that you're serving in a client company. What's that look like? You know, you fly across the country, you show up at their headquarters in New York, you spend a couple working days. What else do you do to sort of try and deepen the relationship?
I think the most important thing is to make sure that it's not a sales pitch every time that you interact with your client or the whole community. That there's, you know, a professional side of the relationship, but there's also a personal side. And as that relationship develops over time, that it can even become, you know, more of a community-based relationship, so that it isn't, you know, again, really just a sales pitch or you want information from the person that you're working with all the time on a particular opportunity or even just on the overall relationship.
So, I mean, I want to get really granular here. So I'm in the client company. Does that mean, you know, writing down my kids' names and remembering that my daughter is about to graduate from college, or does it mean knowing that I love baseball and buying me Mets tickets and saying, let's go out to the ball game? Or does it mean going out to dinner? Like, what, in your experience, what's been the biggest bang for the buck and the most authentic?
Yeah, authentic is the word that I wrote down and think is most important. And it evolves over time. As you start to work with people over time, that relationship changes and differs. So, and it can be all of the dimensions that you talked about, particularly on the personal side, common areas of interest. I've seen consultants and clients, you know, find areas that they're interested, things like playing bridge at a high level, or poker, involved in, you know, horses, music, and that can really spur a different type of relationship where the client is, you know, really intent, they're going to call you because they have a personal relationship. They're thinking of you more often than not. So that area of common interest is important, but on the professional side, you you have to work that in too, because it's not just a personal relationship, and it can be two things. It can be one, all about what's going on in the company. So staying aware of all of the news about what's going on in the company, providing the client information that they may or may not be aware of, or context about what's going on in their own company. Sometimes it's amazing that sometimes consultants will know and get information that, that their client, at a, even at a VP level, is unaware of about the company. So providing that knowledge and currency of information. And then on an industry level, inviting those your clients to participate in committees, or getting on a committee that you know that they're involved in that needs help. So, you know, reaching out and being participating that way. Then also inviting them to joint publish thought leadership articles or present at conferences. These are all ways that professionals in an industry, you know, develop their portfolio, their resume, and you can really help your client become successful. That's a big theme of making your client outrageously successful in their career.
Your second point was have a plan. You know, a lot of times in big organizations, that's called account planning, where either you're looking at an existing account across the portfolio of services that you offer and saying, hey, how could we meet new people, cross-sell within the organization, deepen our relationship with the organization. And when it comes to sort of new opportunities, it means sitting down and asking who has a relationship and what's the best way to sort of build a relationship with a potential client. What have you seen on the account planning side that's particularly effective? What are the two or three best practices as you sit down and look at a prospect?
I think understanding the account comes in the dimensions that you talked about, knowing the strategy of the account and the different divisions within an account and how those strategies interrelate. I once took a client to benchmark with a Japanese firm, and it was quite astounding that they actually, one division indicated to us that they were in fact in competition with their other division. And just, you know, you wouldn't expect that, but it was every way that they thought about what they were doing from a product development perspective. It wasn't about the competition, you know, in the industry, it was about competition within. So those type of things that, you know, can catch you as you develop your plan, really understanding what motivates the people that are participating and mapping out what their points of view are, what their biases are, whether or not they have particular relationships inside the firm that are important to understand, whether or not they have relationships with external consulting firms, other consulting firms that are the competition. So I always think about it in three ways in terms of understanding the people. Who's the decision maker? This is for a particular opportunity. Who is the decision maker, you know, either from a political perspective, from a financial perspective, you know, who's going to be involved in actually making the decision, who has a vote? Who are the influencers who can, you know, who will ask the deep questions, who is relied on for their point of view, but they don't actually get a vote? And then who has the veto power? I once saw a big deal fall apart when it was, everybody thought it was a done deal, and it was a veto that came from left field. And so you really need to look for and map across the firm those players on a particular opportunity, and that can also be done at an account planning level as well. When you go into the year and you think about all the opportunities that you want to pursue and areas you want to get involved in with the client, those mapping of players is a very important thing to do.
You know, all this is in service of creating that kind of dialogue, the two-way communication that you spoke of with clients or potential clients. There seems to be a tension, though, between pushing out a point of view, what I think you should do, and listening to what you think you should do, and listen to you articulate your challenges in your language. How do you balance those two competing virtues as you develop a relationship with a client or potential client?
It is exactly what you're talking about. It's threading a needle. If you are just spitting back to the client what they've told you, there's no added value, and they, you know, pretty quickly can head a different direction. So it's articulating that point of view is always in context of what the account strategy is, in terms of, you know, what that corporate culture is, what their corporate strategy is, and then you look to marry what you understand about the industry best practices, the experience and success and failure that you've seen with other clients. And then it's always important to have in your back pocket what the options are. You know, if there are always different paths to success, and there are pros and cons that you as a consultant will see from the experience that you have with other clients or in the industry forums, peer groups that you have participated in, sponsored, that kind of thing, that you can bring options forward, pros and cons, and helping a client walk through what those pros and cons are is almost as, you know, it's very valuable, and it also is a way for you to get feedback on what you suggested to the client and a better understanding of their reaction to what your suggestion and your recommendations are.
You know, in my experience, when you're trying to engage with someone that you don't know and you ultimately land a contract, it's always a hairy dog story. There's always it's a twisted trail that leads you from your first thought that you might be able to serve a potential client to actually engaging. I wonder if you could share with us, you know, masking the names, a story of business development, how you first came up with the idea to reach out to a client, and then how you ultimately created the web of relationships that allowed you to engage and finally serve.
Well, there are a number of to think about there. I guess one experience recently that was intriguing was the big change that's going on in the industry, the health industry, over the last years with the change in the Affordable Care Act and the change towards population health. A lot of clients that I was involved with in the health industry were caught flat-footed. They weren't in a position to be able to shift that and transform into taking care of a population at a price. They were very much fee-for-service oriented. So, you know, it's a dynamic industry. Clients are transition and need to change significantly. And the leadership of these organizations weren't on the same page. So a number of clients that I worked with over the last 5 years had different perspectives of what to do and how to do it, and both within their firms and also with their partners in the marketplace, so hospitals and physician groups working together in a particular market. So just taking these three items that we were talking about, we had a client that we met through a relationship development exercise in terms of trying to get to know the senior players in a particular marketplace. And the effort was establishing multidimensional relationship and through an industry committees. So we identified a client that looked like they did need help, they wanted help, they were interested in the point of view that we articulated. So we got involved in helping them figure out how to use the data that they had across the firm in their implementation of a medical record system to be able to help them shift towards population health and caring for proactively caring for the patients that they serve. It was, you know, we got engaged in it. We helped them develop a strategy around that. And then it was interesting because you fall into that trap of really understanding how do you get them to move from that strategy that they all agreed on? You know, a senior leadership team sat down, they bought off on the strategy, they all thought that was the right way to go, they voted, and then we went to shift towards implementing, and you know, you get caught up in the really understanding and needing to do a better job at mapping the decision makers and influencers and the veto power. So you know, projects can stall out because those influencers and veto holders are starting to react and exert their influence. And so, you know, this is sort of the path that you were talking about. You go into a bit of a stall mode to then have to move forward because you have to sell it again and remind everybody of, you know, sort of the business case that they'd all agreed on. And it's a matter of constantly understanding those relationships, mapping them, deepening them, and understanding who outside the firm is also influencing them at the same time. So it's not just one cell, as you said. You know, there's an interesting path down, and you can get caught at different points in time and have to push forward into the next cell to get the actual implementation and results done within an account.